Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. We're live on NBC Sports Washington. You want to follow along on TV. The show is brought to you by EMP 180 Weight Loss, the standard for weight loss in the D.C. area. EMP180weightloss.com. I'm John Paul Flame, joined by Jason Bishop, Johnny Cake Sawville, Eric Bickle. That is the foursome. Wanted to jump into the Redskins and NFL free agency. There's been a lot of stuff going on in the NFL. I don't quite understand all the rules. There's the official start to the year, which is later this week, but you can start talking to free agents now. But teams like the Browns made a ton of moves over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I guess it was really Friday.
They were acquiring players via trade, or they were, you know, signing people who were waived.
So the Browns, who have the first pick in the draft and I believe the fourth pick in the draft,
yep.
And they loaded up with all these draft picks the last couple of years. I forget the name of the guy. Sachi Brown.
Used to be with the Skins.
They whacked him for 2 years. But they're kind of reaping the rewards of the work that he did because he set it up so that they would have all these draft picks, which they've now traded. And so they're going to have Tyrod Taylor and Jarvis Landry, which should make them better than a no-win team. They should be able to win a couple games with those guys.
Yeah, and who knows
the
what they do.
The bar is so low.
Who knows what they do with Josh Gordon, because I guess he's a restricted free agent.
Correct.
So they made all these moves.
If they can retain Gordon, they've got some pretty good receivers.
They brought
in Corey Coleman, too.
Defensive back as well.
Mm-hmm.
But now all the teams can start talking, I guess, to players, and it appears the Redskins have lined up a couple of interviews. We talked about this name a couple weeks ago, but Muhammad Wilkerson, who was let go by the New York Jets, who was in the midst of a 5-year, $86 million deal, had a couple of disappointing years for the Jets, and they let him go. He's a name that they apparently are interested in. They're bringing him in for an interview. And then also a guy who they're going to convert to linebacker, Benson Mayoya, who was a defensive end at Dallas. But he's only 265 pounds, so they see him as an outside linebacker in the 3-4.
Did Wilkerson meet with the Chiefs? I thought he was going to meet with the Chiefs first.
I've seen his name linked to the Raiders at some point, too.
Okay.
I don't know if he's met with the Chiefs yet or not.
He's visited Green Bay and Kansas City, according to a story on ESPN.com.
So he did meet with the Chiefs.
And then Mayoya has 9 career sacks in 5 seasons. So, to me, he's a depth guy. If you're looking at outside linebacker, you've already got Kerrigan.
But Wilkerson would not be a depth guy. Wilkerson would be an instant starter.
Oh, yeah, plug him next to Jonathan Allen. Yeah. And if he's not a head case like he was recently in New York, where he was benched several times because he was just late all the time. He's breaking team rules left and right.
Well, also, but the production was down.
Yeah.
Big time.
Well, he got his money.
He got paid.
He was G'd up.
That's a question.
Yeah, right.
That's a big question.
Is he the next Albert Haynesworth? Is he a guy who's going to get paid again and then who will underperform? If I were the Redskins, I'd be wary of that.
He signed a 5-year, $86 million deal with the Jets, and he was cut 2 years into that deal.
But when you see the highlights, though, and you see him making plays, you're like, yeah, I want that guy. Yeah.
Well, of course, everybody looks great on highlights.
But are you getting that guy? Yeah.
Do Redskins fans like this conservative approach to free agency is what I would say. 800-636-1067, because in the past, they'd go after the big names. I never heard of Benson Mayoya.
Yeah.
I can't pronounce his name.
I'm always kind of big on the flashy signs.
You like the splash.
I like the splash. I like winning the offseason. I like winning the offseason Super Bowl. I get a little bit sice when we get the top free agent guys out there. This whole muted offseason approach is kind of boring.
You don't like the Terrell McClain / Stacy McGee approach?
Well, how did that work out?
Didn't work out so well.
Right.
Look at the defensive numbers.
Neither did the big splashy offseason either. I don't know how to do it. Thank God I'm not in charge.
Such a high wire act.
I would think that if you can get someone like Wilkerson, who knows what his production will be, but he's certainly
the problem is
you know he's got talent.
He does have the talent, and he's only 28 years old.
Yeah,
but are you getting the guy the last 2 years? Or the guy?
Are you getting the guy that was hungry for the big deal? Or are you getting the guy who is happy he's got the big deal?
Who's G'd up, showing up late all the time?
Right, that's what I would be concerned about.
Right.
Yeah, the guy who got his $15 million back in 2016 and is now going through the motions.
So guys like Kirk Cousins can officially talk to teams today, right?
Yes.
Can he fly to Minnesota and meet with them?
Yes.
He can.
ProFootballTalk.com says that he hasn't finalized his
final four
free
or whatever
agent meetings, but you see all these stories of other players who are setting up meetings
so
and
you
talking
can,
to
you
teams.
You can literally fly to, say, Minnesota and come to a deal. You just can't sign it until Wednesday,
yes.
4 p.m.
So the Redskins right now are looking at those two guys. Does that excite you? 800-636-1067. And according to ProFootballTalk.com, they have offered Trent Murphy a contract as well. He offered a cryptic message on Twitter.
It said,
"Blessed and highly favored, thankful for the many that have helped me along this journey, and super pumped for the opportunities to come. Let's go."
All right, so it sounds like they're going to lock something up with him. They have offered Zach Brown something, right? We learned that last week.
Yeah.
It's been a while ago, so I'm sure he's going to kind of shop himself, though. What about Will Compton? Are they just moving on from Will?
Not sure. Yeah. All I know about Will Compton is he had that back and forth with RG3.
Right. That was embarrassing for Robert. I don't know. Let's pick out some of these calls here. Let's go to Andrew in Stafford. Andrew, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, Junks, how y'all doing?
What's up, Andrew?
Do you like the boring offseason or like the splashy offseason?
Well, considering what splashy's gotten us before, I'll take boring.
Well, we had boring last year, and that didn't really get us anything.
What's that?
We had boring last year.
You got Terrell Pryor.
Yeah. Yeah. No. I guess that was kind of
splashy. No, but right. So at least we didn't spend a buttload of money on it. I mean, I hope, you know, if we can bring in Wilkerson, that's fine with me. I just don't think we need to pay him $15 million a year or something absurd. Mm. Bring him in. I mean, Pryor didn't work, but it was a good signing. It was 1 year, not a lot of money, and we got a chance to kick the tires.
Yeah. You're right. You're right. Look, I think the days of the Redskins going out there and blowing you away with an offer are pretty much done. You know,
I don't know. It's okay, like, Norman, if you got the opportunity and you really believe in the player, spend the money.
Right. Unless you're like a guy at the peak of his powers.
Would you have liked them to make a play for Richard Sherman who ends up with the 49ers? Then you would have had a Sherman-Norman secondary.
I would have entertained it, especially, I believe they gave him a pretty incentive-laden deal, right?
Yeah.
And I think he's even all excited about like topping out at like $8 million if he makes the Pro Bowl. So it's not like he's making a ton.
What was it, 3 years, $36 million, something like 3 years, $40 million, something
39
like that.
Million.
Yeah.
But didn't he say if I make the Pro Bowl, I get $8 million?
It for the following year, automatically.
Guaranteed.
Yeah.
Right. Right.
Draft T-shirt's very conflicted about Richard Sherman playing for a division rival.
I am conflicted.
Well, what's he supposed to do? Not go there?
No, of course. I mean, he's a Seattle legend now. They brought us the Super Bowl, but it's irritating. Like, our fans not supposed to have feelings that their favorite player, like, goes to the
I'm
rival
not
team?
Right.
And not
you
care.
You should blame the team, though, like he said. Blame
right,
the team.
Of course. Well, he got old. What do you want to do? Keep him until he's 40?
You know what, Trav? Just have your expectations low for 2018 Seahawks.
They're very low.
What is he? He's 30, though. The corners at 30 is not too bad.
Well, he shredded his Achilles.
That's true. I'd be nervous about that. I would be nervous about that.
I mean, his skills have probably deteriorated a bit, but he still knows how to play the position.
Right. Let's go to Andrew Landover. Andrew, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junks.
How you doing? Can you hear me?
Yeah. Up, how are you?
Yep.
I'm fine. Thanks for taking my call. I'm disappointed that the Redskins aren't going for splashy this season. You know, the last splashy move I can remember was DeSean Jackson, and he did pretty good when he was with us. I just feel like Vontae Davis was a name that we should have jumped all over, but instead he signed with Buffalo, and he was available long before Sherman was, and Sherman's coming off an Achilles. Vontae Davis, he got abused by the Colts, and his name was tarnished. He's going to play the chip on the shoulder, and he's from the area. So It shocks me that we didn't go after Vontae Davis to replace Breland. I don't think we're going to keep Breland, but now we should.
Didn't Vontae have some injuries, too?
He was oft injured the past couple seasons.
He's had some injury history.
Yeah.
He didn't have any. Vontae's not coming off an Achilles, though. Sherman is.
Right.
Well, the Skins didn't sign Sherman.
I'm not even sure the Skins were anywhere near the mix on Sherman.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. We'll see. And you know what? Doesn't mean they're not going to sign. If they sign Wilkerson, if he ends up signing, that's a splashy sign.
I'm telling you, I'm into splashy signings.
I know, and I'm sure you, it might
As
work out.
As a Skins fan, I get Theis.
It might work
it's
out.
It's a lot like easier to get Theis for a splashy signing than a Terrell McClain signing.
Right.
Yeah.
And the Those second guy, really JP mentioned, the guy from Dallas, I can't even remember his last name.
Can't pronounce his name correctly.
Brandon Mayoya.
Yeah, you can't get excited. It's impossible to get excited about that person. Just is.
You got to have a little
cachet. It's impossible
cachet.
To get excited about somebody you've never heard of.
Right.
Let's go to Dan Culpepper. Dan, what's up, buddy? Y'all with the Jucks.
How you doing? I'm a Jets fan, and I watch Wilkerson drafted out of Temple. He's a Jersey guy, home kid, came to the Jets, and once he got that deal, I mean, the year in his free agent year, he had his overall production numbers were second only to J.J. Watt, and he just disappeared. I know he broke his leg that same year, but he just disappeared. Effort, not showing up. They threw a birthday party for him, and he didn't show up to it. I mean, this would be a classic bad signing for you guys. Don't do it.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, maybe if you, what if you get him for an incentive-laden deal?
Yeah, you're going to get – he's not going to sign for the same sort of money signed with the Jets, where he's getting like $86 million, $15 million guaranteed. Yeah.
Give him some terrible offer and give him a bunch of incentives for
sacks. He's already visited two teams, right? Then you say he visited with Kansas City, who was a Green Bay?
Packers.
Yeah. But he is definitely scheduled to visit with the Skins.
Yeah, because he left without a deal on those
According
two.
To the story on ESPN.com.
Yeah, that's silly.
He'd be economist in the days when guys would fly in here and Dan Snyder
wouldn't let him
leave. It was impossible for them to leave without a contract.
Who doesn't like that?
You miss the days when Lavernius Coles gets a call from his agent and his agent is on the other end of the phone saying, they're offering me how much? Why are you talking to me on the phone?
Right.
Fax it to me immediately. I need to sign this deal.
And what's missing from that story, though, is no running back or wide receiver on that list.
Well, not yet.
I think they're going to target
They're going to go out and get somebody.
They're going to target it in the draft. There are a few. I've seen a list. There are some wide receiver names on that list. So we'll see. Maybe they're just not talked about yet.
They're definitely going to talk to wide receivers and running backs.
Yeah. Wednesday doesn't mean they're going to sign them, but they're going to sign. Is the official start of free agency, although you can legally tamper now.
Right.
And I guess you can make trades or pick up waived players.
Correct. Is there any?
Yes, see, you can.
I've heard that the Skins are
actually. If someone is cut, you can sign them.
I've heard the Skins are actually not high on Sammy Watkins, which is my guy. Who's high on him? Have any of those rumblings come out?
Like, haven't heard.
Does he have visits lined up?
Seen nothing about Sammy.
Ooh, maybe his market's super soft. The Skins could swoop in.
Maybe they could swoop in and get him on the cheap. That would be silly.
I bet. I've heard guys like Crowell, they might be into him.
It just doesn't even matter. Remember how hyped everybody was for Terrell Pryor? Everybody was fired up.
I was convinced.
That guy was.
Well, I was convinced if he was healthy, he was going to have
a claims he's going to have a breakout 2018 because he was injured most of 2017 here with the Skins.
But
that's coming from the Terrell Pryor
camp. His hands injured in the preseason.
From what I read, all he could do was run in a straight line.
Did the injuries prevent him from running decent routes?
Yeah. Yes.
Apparently,
according to the story
that I
read.
His foot
was banged up. He said, all I could do was run in a straight line.
I believe that. But what about the part when they threw it to him and he fell out of his car?
Yeah. I don't think his hands were hurt. I'm not a Terrell Pryor flag waver. But I'm just saying that he's claiming that the injuries robbed him of a productive 2017.
I agree. I don't think it affected catching the ball, but it certainly affected other aspects of playing
100%.
The
but they had lost confidence in him before that.
Absolutely.
You know, if you throw him the football repeatedly.
Now, maybe if Pryor had taken more five-hour energy shots, he would catch more balls.
Yes.
I had a five-hour energy last night. Had to stay up late and watch the old tournament lines come out. And do my research. I probably filled out about 20 brackets. Needed a five-hour energy berry flavor to stay up and watch all the shows.
Joe flavored.
Oh, Joe Berry flavored.
Joe Berry. Thank you. You're welcome.
I needed
You're
one
welcome
of
for that.
Thank you very much. Right now, 5-Hour Energy is launching their Getting Back to 100% campaign with a unique twist on this year's College Hoops Tournament. Are you getting fired up for this? Because I am. You've got the ability to swap your incorrect selections during the tournament as the game is being played. You see an upset in the making? No big deal. Just swap the favorite out to ensure that your bracket is 100% correct. Go to 5hourenergybrackets.com. That's 5hourenergybrackets.com. Or click on the link on the fandc.com's homepage.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Chunky's on 106.7 The Fan. Jason Sobel, ESPN.com senior golf writer, is going to join us coming up in an hour. We'll get back to Tiger Woods. We opened up talking some Tiger. He finished second at the Valspar, which apparently is paint.
It is paint. That's correct. I have verified that, yes, through many sources.
Well, you can see all the commercials.
It's paint.
And so EB mentioned on Saturday he did get to watch it because Tiger was playing late, but he was out shooting lacrosse. Pete Medhurst calling the Albany, Maryland game for the Big Ten Network, and EB was there.
Great game.
Cakes, myself, and Matt Valdez were all at the Chance for Life MGM National Harbor on Saturday.
That's correct.
And it's actually the first time I was able to play. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, you know, Brad has been coming by here for several years, and we've been involved with Chance for Life for several years. I haven't been able to go, whether it's coaching or different, you know, you just have different commitments. Like Jason wasn't able to go. I know you've played in the past. You weren't able to go. You've played in the past. And it is an unbelievable event. This was the biggest one by far. I guess it's just grown to the point.
At MGM National Harbor.
There were 700 players in the poker tournament.
Mm-hmm. It's by far the best run.
700.
Poker charity event I've ever been in. And that's been in years past. I haven't even been there since they've been at MGM where it's just exploded.
You have to go experience it at MGM.
And I was asking Cakes because I played for like 2 hours in the poker tournament. Right. I had to work that night. I was doing Wizards. I pretty much called my shot. I said, because Chris Farley was at our table and I told him, I'm going all in the next 15 minutes, no matter what.
Well, actually, before we even sat down to play,
I said, no matter what, I will go all in the next 15 minutes.
I was the last person to sit down at the table, and Valdez and JP were like, hey, we're going to dump all of our chips to you, and you can go make a deep run.
I wanted to collude.
And I was thinking, I was like, I'm kind of psyched for that to happen. But then, like, four or five other people sat down at the table, and I was like, well, they're not going to be in on this bit. So I just told them, I was like, thanks, but just play whatever, however you're going
to
play.
Farley did ship me the chips.
Well, because
you have to have, like, I'm ready to go. Cake still has to be in on a hand. I'm happy to dump my chips to him, but he's got to be in on the hand.
Right.
Like, if I'm acting after
highly unethical.
Very unethical.
But it's a lock Farley dumped his chips to Cakes because they both were in the hand, and Cakes is a big nit, and he was betting into a board with an ace high, and Farley had two queens. So it's a lock he dumped his chips to Cakes.
I can't influence the way Chris Farley plays poker.
But I don't even want to talk about the poker, although Cakes played till 8 o'clock. Like, I bounced out of there
around time did you get there?
3, I would say.
I think 11? The tournament probably started around 12 or 12:15.
So you probably got there at 11.
I got there at 11:15, around there.
It's a long day.
I mean, I had to rebuy.
Yeah.
I mean, I didn't, trust me, I wasn't going to make it as far as I did with the meager amount of chips, so I rebought 10K in chips when I had the opportunity. I went and bought it
for
charity.
Because
it's for charity.
Bucks.
Yeah, like,
right.
They're raising all this money for pediatric cancer research. The least I can do is dip into my pocket.
And the story is amazing.
Add a little bit to the till.
And by the way, the first year, I remember the first year I played in it.
Yeah.
It was held at the Georgetown. What was that club called? The
Sphinx Club?
The Georgetown Men's Club.
Was it a different? Okay.
It was right there.
Couple
right,
different
it was
clubs,
right there on M Street in Georgetown.
Yeah.
And, you know, it was a nice place, but, I mean, it's obviously not the MGM.
Right.
No, they had the ballroom.
So that thing is growing big time.
It is.
They had the ballroom
for
the tournament, and then I asked Cakes, I was just wondering, so the whole ballroom was full of tables.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay?
700 people, and there were more people that wanted to play that couldn't because it was sold out.
Right.
And then they had the theater, which is where we held our poker tournament. That was for the taste experience.
The tasting event and the after party.
Man, what did Valdez do? Because you brought your bride, right?
This is Matt Valdez.
What did she end up doing while you were playing poker?
No. She just came for the tasting thing. So I got to go and be at the casino for like 6 hours.
Right.
And she came at for the tasting at 6:30.
And did she get sized? I mean, she left her phone in the Uber or whatever. That sucked.
Yeah, well, but... she got sized. It was a ton of fun.
They had DJ Scribble, I believe. There were a lot of celebrities. Joe Montana was a surprise guest.
I couldn't believe it.
I mean, Joe was a surprise doing the musical guest.
We were out there by 9:30.
It might have been Scribble. I don't know.
No, John Popper.
Oh, John Popper is a
Blues Traveler.
That's a great one. That's a great one.
That's an amazing guess.
They bring a silly harmonica?
So they're doing like one of the live auctions during the poker tournament, and the hype man comes out, and he's like, yeah, we got this 49ers Joe Montana signed helmet. And then 2 minutes later, Joe Montana walks out on the stage.
People were sending me pictures of Montana at the food court.
Yeah.
Looking up at the menu.
Can you imagine?
I'm like, what? Are you kidding me?
Oh, and Joe Montana was there, and then they had him sign a bunch of balls that they auctioned off for the charity. And then after Montana got off the stage, they're like, okay, we're going to bring up Doc Gooden, who's auctioning off a sit-in with him and Daryl Strawberry at Citi Field. You know, you bring two or four people, hang out, watch a Mets game with Doc and Daryl.
That's crazy.
Fetching you drinks in the suite.
That is awesome.
How great is that?
Yeah, it was a really amazing event. Doug Kammer was the MC, and he's introducing people. And then Phil Hellmuth is there for people that follow poker.
Yeah, the poker brat is there.
He's there.
Here's what I loved.
He has the microphone the whole time, and he's just walking around grilling people's hands.
He was doing a Q&A before all this started, like one of the back rooms behind where everything was taking place. And he was just goofing on guys like Antonio Esfandiari, Daniel Negreanu. Mm. I had a chubber in my pants.
That's inside.
Did anybody record any of that stuff?
I don't know if anybody recorded it, but it was pretty cool.
But Hellmuth is walking around, and like Santana Moss, a lot of people from NBC Sports Washington were there.
Right.
Phil Chenier stopped by, introduced him to Cakes.
Phil Chenier likes craps, by the way. I learned
that. Really?
Yeah, I was like, what's your poison? He said, he just did this.
He likes the little bones.
Craps guy. That's my guy. So
he was just walking by.
That's a real D-gen right there.
Brian Mitchell was there. So a lot of people from NBC Sports Washington were there. I think they were one of the sponsors.
Yeah.
But Phil Hellmuth would just walk by, and he'd look at like Santana Moss's hand, and he would just start grilling. He's like, yeah, I'm here with Redskins receiver. He's like, oh, you got to go all in with that, Santana. And he's just walking by.
Oh, he's just on his mic. Yeah.
I think Cakes, when he was – you almost made the final table.
Well, I got Cakes down to the rebound. I got down to like the final 30.
Right.
And I was like,
at a 700 is pretty good.
I was like, top three. I was like, I might be able to, if I double up, I might be able to make a run to the final table. So I get moved to a different table, and I'm there for one hand. And at this point,
Hellmuth is commenting on your table.
At this point, the blinds are 30K, 60K, and I have 300K in front of me. So you think, oh, 300K. It's not a lot when you consider the blinds.
30-60, right?
So at like this point, it's robot poker. There's no thought involved. I look down at my cards. I have ace-10. I'm like, well, I'm shipping it in here. It all goes in the middle. A guy with less than me calls with pocket sevens. The chip leader, massive chip leader at the table, he's down where EB is. He's got like three racks of chips, and I see him just stacking them. I was like, oh, this donk's going to call too. I'm going to be in a three-way pot. I don't even have a hand. He calls. Guy across me flips over pocket sevens. I'm like, okay, all right, I'm in a race with him. The guy with the massive chip lead, jack four of diamonds. I'm like, what are you doing?
He hits a jack.
What are you doing, donkey donk? So, of course, the run out is he turns a jack, knocks both of us out of the tournament.
Right. Scoops it.
And I was trying to be graceful, but for a second I was turning into Brett from 8 years ago. I was just like,
our old producer.
I was like, I can't believe you're in that hand.
Yeah.
What were you doing?
Yeah, but when you have that biggest stack, you can afford to
jack four of diamonds.
Smart play for him.
You can like Jamie Gold.
The dream was dashed at that point.
Inside baseball.
I was bounced.
Another thing which jumped out at me, and I didn't go up and talk to him. Chris Samuels was there, former Redskins.
He was, yeah.
What's he up to?
And so Chris Samuels is part of the Real Housewives of Potomac,
yeah,
I believe.
Yeah, I think he was. Correct. Yes.
And I've seen it, and he does seem to be a really jovial guy.
Yeah.
And man, he just looks like he's just living life happy because Phil Hellmuth went up to him, and I guess he had done this the year before.
Here's what he's up to.
And he goes, yeah, here's former Redskins offensive lineman Chris Samuels, and he likes to rap. He's like, give me a beat. And then all of a sudden you hear a beat.
You're kidding.
And Chris Samuels starts freestyling.
I felt bad for him.
No less than five different times.
No, 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 no.
He's actually pretty good.
It wasn't bad, but the
But they were riding him like he was Run DMC back in the '80s. The problem, every 20 minutes, are handing him the mic.
Did he just freestyle?
Yeah. The DJ would drop a beat and he would just start going.
The problem was last year. Last year, so he like went up and did it spur of the moment.
Yeah.
And now it's this thing where every hour Phil goes up to
him
with the mic.
He's got to come up with fresh raps.
And he's rapping about Potomac school systems. But funny.
We were slapping our knee at our table.
That's hilarious.
He was killing it.
Does he have like an album out or something?
No,
was he promoting anything?
I'm telling you, I just think he's living life.
Yeah.
But like part of his rap was about how he's happy in life.
Well, I know as a few years ago, he was like a big high school coach, right? Is he still not doing, is he not doing that anymore?
I hadn't heard that.
I think he was a high school football raps. Coach at some terrible like school.
We only learned about his life through his raps. So he didn't mention that in his raps.
Is he still living in the area? He's obviously still in the D.C.
Yeah, he's still
area,
local.
Right?
Yeah, Potomac.
Yeah. He lives in Potomac?
Yeah, he's good to talk about the silly school system.
Well, unless he was on the stupid Real Housewives of Potomac or whatever.
Right. No, but it was a great event. I don't know the final tally as to how much money Chance for Life raised, but I'm sure it was either close to or above,
like a half?
Above the $1.5 million dollar
Well, they
goal.
Had a big silly from Boeing who jumped on stage. He's like a big sponsor, so he came to the tournament last year and was so impressed. So they had a lot of, you know, when we ran our charity poker tournament for Craig Walden, you would have the title sponsor.
Yeah.
The title sponsor would put up, I don't know, 20 grand, whatever it was. Their title sponsor, I'm guessing, puts up a lot more.
Yeah, he was buying like half of the Joe Montana footballs. He was rebuying all the time. And I was like, how can I compete? I got one rebuy, and I'm dealing with one of the senior VPs from Boeing.
But it's weird, like, just at our next table, Lee Evans is there. It's like, why is Lee Evans?
And Phil Hellmuth was jocking him because Phil is from Wisconsin, and Lee Evans is the Badgers. He was all over that.
There's
just
random
angle.
Celebrities there.
Jason, are you a little bit jealous that I got to meet Joe Montana?
Did you? You go up to him and say hello?
Well, he came to
everyone's table and did a picture.
He came to every table. He did a photo. You know,
Jason would
ask
for a personal for sure.
I heard he wasn't into those, though.
We shook hands with him, and he's standing there. Valdez goes, I loved you in your Hass avocado spots. Because he did commercials
that's
for avocados.
What you love,
and I just started slapping my knee.
Do you know how many times he's heard about the catch?
Yeah, I know. So you're going to do a different bit.
So I'm doing the different bit.
The different
and
bit.
I bet you out of everyone there, the only person he remembers is the avocado idiot.
You're probably right. The avocado idiot.
Yeah.
It did make me laugh.
My buddy said he asked him for a selfie with when he was looking at the board at the Shake Shack.
Right.
He was not having it.
Really?
He said no thank you.
He did not want to be bothered with selfies.
So what did he say, though? Did he say no thank you?
He said, I'll shake your hand, but I'm not going to take a picture with you.
I just realized how much money was there, though. I actually walked through the live auction. Did you walk through the auction or the silent auction?
I did.
Oh, my
God. I didn't bid on anything, but I walked through.
Like, the opening bids were all out of my price range. They had so much cool stuff.
They had trips to an Italian villa for like five couples. They had a crazy like spot in Bali, which I believe is in Indonesia, for like four couples with a private chef there for like a week.
Yeah.
I mean, people were just bidding. Oh, $5,000, $5,500, $6,000. Valdez and I are just sitting there with our hands in our laps.
Yeah, I'm way
God
too
forbid
cheap
you
for that.
Accidentally raise your hand. One of those.
Did they get? Were they passing on paddles?
No,
the paddle bit.
It wasn't to that extent.
But we're at a cool table. The guy, the owner of Taylor Gourmet, was there.
That's right, Casey Patton. Oh, he's a good dude.
Get any gift cards?
No gift cards.
I think he. I
Why
think
not?
I heard. I might be botching, but I think I heard that he prepared something like 40,000 sandwiches for
That's
the event.
Probably right.
That seems to be a lot, but.
A lot of roast beef.
That might be the It's not going to be 40,000.
It seems There's like no a high way. Number.
I heard something about 40,000.
Maybe 4,000. I mean, they're not 40,000.
You might have added a zero.
That's like an army. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Frank's swing speed is 140.
But the food was amazing. Yeah, right. Like, during
You'd
one of the breaks, I don't think I've ever had Korean short rib before, but I sampled it over the weekend. It was delicious.
Of course it was.
I'm going to have it again. So everything was, you know.
And the girl, was the girl doing well? The little girl that's kind of inspired the entire event?
She was.
Was she there again? Did she speak?
Amazing story.
Yeah.
She was the
Kennedy.
Homecoming queen this year, apparently.
Wow. Yeah, she's going off to college.
And her cancer's, is it in remission? Or are they just...
Sounds like it's still there and they're dealing with it, but...
She seems to be thriving.
Like when she was, when she was like 3 or 4 years old, they didn't know if she would make it to 5 or 6. And now she's going off to college.
Now she's 18.
It's absurd.
And they had a video. So the money which they raised last year, they were saying really was used in the last year for testing, new cures. And they had a boy come on stage. They showed like this whole video that's been doing the treatment for a few months. He was shy, but he's there with his family.
That's always a tearjerker.
Oh, yeah. I think that was what got me over the hump to dip in and rebound.
Right.
I'm telling you, Brad and Phil, they really know how to do it. They're really good at tugging on the heartstrings, which is what the event is about. It's about spending money and helping hopefully find a cure for cancer.
But there's, you know, we are a bunch of squeakers.
Yeah.
We talk about all the time.
Sure.
You'd be lobbying for gift cards. There are a lot of people there just oozing money.
Oh, but you don't care about spending money.
Can you imagine being at a charity event, everyone's spending money, and you're hitting up the Taylor Gourmet guy for gift cards? I mean, that's exactly what I'd be doing.
We chose not to do that. We left him alone.
I mean, God forbid if Kava was there. Oh, my God.
Yeah, well, you wouldn't have been able to contain yourself.
Jesus.
But, you know, they're setting the bar so high. Brad, you know, the organizers.
How are they going to top it next year?
Yeah, next year.
Every year they have to top it.
Yeah. You got a tiger there next year?
So next year the goal is going to be like $2 million.
Oh, yeah, and they also, they did a bit which I liked. Look, it's very hard to win any poker tournament.
Yeah.
And with 700 people, the odds of you winning the poker tournament are slim and none.
Yeah, of course.
But they're doing a jacket bit now. I don't remember the sponsor. So they did all these intros, and they're like, well, we're going to introduce the people that have won this tournament before. When we started, they started in like some small bar 13 years ago, right? Where they had like 40 guys, you know, almost like kind of a big home game, let's say. And they had, I guess, 6 or 7 of the guys were there that had won the previous tournaments, and they did it just like the Masters.
Gold jackets.
Like a gold jacket.
You got to present it on stage.
You're
a little bit jelly.
No.
Yeah, with your name embroidered on the inside.
A gold jacket.
Look, he'd be sliced.
No, I want to win.
Well, you know what else they did that really catered to the high rollers? At one point, they were selling the amount of chips that whoever the chip leader was, like at this point, is like 98,000 or 100,000.
Yeah. So
Phil would
chip
go and say, who's the chip leader? 98,000? You can now be the chip leader if you donate $3,000 to the call.
Yeah,
so of course the guy from Boeing does this. Reaches the bottom, pulls out $3,000, and he's all of a sudden the chip leader.
Yeah,
incredible. That's unbelievable.
Yeah, so Mike Mattisau was there playing in the tournament.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Oh, my God.
And so he had to go to a cash game at 3 o'clock. Big juicy fish at MGM. Yeah.
He just left in the middle?
And so he said...
Was he in his wheelchair? Because, you know, he toils around in like a wheelchair.
He didn't appear to be.
I didn't see him in
it. He's getting a lot of back pain and stuff. I don't know. He's got a lot of...
So he goes... And so Phil goes, Mike has a cash game to get to at 3. He has X amount of chips. Let's auction it off at $1,000. Who wants his chip stack?
You're kidding.
No.
Anything goes.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd be so Rick if I was a chip leader and I'm grinding.
Right? I'm sitting there with like 13 so
rich
chips.
Guy
and I'm
just
like,
one-ups you.
I can't pay $3,000 to be
the
chip leader.
But the rebuys let you do that too, like early on.
Yeah, but you started at the beginning.
Yeah, but you started with 5,000 chips, but if you actually...
We're
under 1,000. You could do a rebuy to give yourself 15,000 chips.
Right,
the old double rebuy for $700.
Right.
That's the that was triple, really.
No wonder they raised $1.5 million.
Yeah,
they know what they're doing. That's a great event.
It's all for an amazing cause.
I mean, like at our table, immediately there was a guy getting a massage. There's just so much going on.
It's a great event.
ChanceForLife.net.
Brad, I didn't know Mike the Mouse was there.
Of course he was there. He's shipping his chips all over the place.
And some other guy I never heard of. There was a third pro poker player.
Cantu. Brandon Cantu. He's a big silly.
Oh, yeah.
He's won a World Poker Tour event. He's a big silly.
I should have been there. Damn. Then I went to a dumb lacrosse game.
Just put it on your calendar for 2019. It'll be here before you know it.
What a great event. But you went home, no skins afterwards?
No skins.
You did that earlier? Or did you go 3 weeks in a row?
Look at that.
We need to stage an intervention. What's going on over there?
How long have you been married?
Jeez. You guys have been married like a week.
Has it been a year?
You guys have been married a week.
Was it last 2 summers ago?
It'll be a year, April
29th. That's right. My anniversary.
So it's been a year.
That's my anniversary, not yours, Valdez.
Oh, you guys are on the same day?
Yeah.
We got to take a break. If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Welcome back. Chucky's on 106.7 The Fan. We are live on NBC Sports Washington. Jason Sobel covers golf for ESPN. Will join us coming up at 8:20. Talk about Tiger Woods finishing second at the Valspar. But Wanted to get into a couple of the local teams who were in action on Saturday night. I hosted or I did Wizards Overtime on Saturday night, and they were absolutely blasted by the Miami Heat, who they beat earlier in the week.
Didn't the Heat shoot like 58% or something crazy?
Close to 60%. Yeah. They had 100 points in the paint, basically. It was just an awful defensive effort, and they had two guys in double figures from the starting lineup. Think about that. And it was Beal with 14 and Porter with 10.
They had played the night before.
They did, and they got a win the night before against the Anthony Davis-less Pelicans.
Yes, snapped the Pelicans, I think, 10-game win streak.
They did.
I don't care.
Well, let's just be real. Anthony Davis snapped the 10-game win streak.
I don't care. It doesn't show on the standings that Anthony Davis wasn't in the game.
But the Wizards, they're in this spot, and we talked about it last week, where the standings are very fluid in the Eastern Conference. It's very close. Right now, if the playoffs started today, they would play the Cavaliers in the first round.
That would be incredible.
4-5.
Which is terrifying to me, personally.
I actually brought that up a few weeks ago. I said, wouldn't it be awesome if they played LeBron in the first round?
Why would that be awesome?
That's not awesome.
As a Wizards fan, it wouldn't be awesome.
Okay, for you, it wouldn't be.
It would just be exciting
around town.
It'd be electric for a couple days.
And everyone's beating Cleveland.
But does anybody think, even though Cleveland's struggling, that the Wiz would be favored or would...
Cleveland would be a slight favorite.
They'd not be favored, but look, Cleveland's lost 6 of their last 10.
Yeah,
they got swept in L.A. LeBron points out 4 guys in their rotation are out.
Yes, they are.
Love's out, Tristan Thompson's out, Rodney Hood is out, and then CeeDee Osman, who nobody's ever heard of.
But those top three, those are big players. I mean, those are
important
players.
Right, you expect those guys to be healed and ready come playoff time.
Yeah. But look, they can keep sliding. There's only 14, 15 games left, depending on which team you're looking at. And the Wizards, every game counts. John Wall does look like he's very close to returning. He was in his hoodie, taking jumpers, running up and down the court.
What are we thinking?
I would
sit him out. 5 more games?
I would sit him out no more than 3 more games. They have 3 games, I believe, in the stretch of like 10 days. So that's 10 days off. Then you bring him back for the last 12.
The luxury of holding him out as long as you can is disappearing.
Yeah, I mean, you could end up in the 8 seed before you know it.
Right.
So what are they, about 12-8, 12-9 without him? Something like that?
Yeah, it's gotten much closer to 500 after that
10-3
start.
They got the T-Wolves tomorrow, and then they got back-to-backs. They got the T-Wolves, and then they got to go to Boston Wednesday. And then they
may be without Kyrie, who says he needs to sit out because of a sore knee.
Did Kyrie sit out yesterday? Because they lost yesterday.
I think he did.
Yeah, they're banged up, too. Toronto's pretty much got the one seed wrapped up. Toronto doesn't lose now.
Mm-hmm.
But Minnesota, Boston, and Indiana the next 3.
So
maybe next Wednesday.
T-Wolves are pretty damn good.
T-Wolves are good. They just beat Golden State, and that's without Jimmy Butler.
And they just signed Derrick Rose, right?
Yeah.
Everyone's writing him off. He swears he's still got it. He's just healthy, and everyone thinks he's – did you see his quotes? He's like, everybody thinks that I'm like with a cane or I got to walk around with ice bags everywhere.
I'll believe
my body
it when
feels
I see
great.
It. If he comes out and then looks anything like his old self, I'll believe it, but – we haven't seen that guy for a while.
And then also on Saturday night, I guess it was before the Wizards played, so it was kind of mid-evening, the Capitals got a shutout win against San Jose, and that was with Grubauer, who has been the goalie the last 2 games. We started talking about this on Thursday, maybe it was Friday, about do they make the move from Holtby. At least right now, Grubauer has been given a shot. He gave up 2 goals in the first game.
Clearly an audition.
And he lost that first game, but it was only given up 2 goals.
Right.
And then he has the shutout in the next game. To me, what goalie controversy?
By the way,
you got your goalie.
That's their
hot.
First regulation win in San Jose since October of 1993.
That's unbelievable.
Think about how long ago that is. That is crazy.
If he starts the next game.
Well, tonight, they play the Jets here.
Have they announced who's starting? If they start
probably
Grubby.
Not yet.
As far as I'm concerned, Holtby's officially been benched. If they start him 3 games in a row,
yeah,
he's officially been benched.
I think he's been officially benched already.
Yeah.
I mean, Trotz,
don't you think?
Basically was saying
you gotta play the hot
he
hands.
Was going with Grubauer.
Yeah.
I forget what he called it now. Didn't he call it like a reset? Like
Holtby needs a reset. Yeah, start over. Yeah.
Of course. They're bringing in old goalie coaches to try and get him
right.
You
don't have a problem with this, right, Cakes?
No, none whatsoever.
Yeah. So, wait a minute.
If they're better with Grubby in net and Holtby needs a rest.
This is the first win in San Jose in 25 years?
In regulation. Since 1993.
That is unbelievable.
Since the Junks weren't even around.
Are Caps fans
Are they excited? Like, do they have a new lease on life now that they're going with Groovy and you feel like you got a little more, I don't know, maybe you got a little more momentum now?
I don't have a sense that that's the case. You look at the Caps, they're 500 in their last 10 games.
Yeah.
They haven't been playing the best hockey.
Of the Pens.
Maybe this is the jolt they need,
though. They're not on top of the Metro anymore, chasing Pittsburgh.
Well, we don't know that he's been benched yet. If he's not playing tonight,
that's officially benched.
Then I think he's all right. Grubby's the guy going forward until he stumbles.
Who are they playing? Winnipeg.
The Jets.
Winnipeg.
How are they?
Jets are pretty good.
Winnipeg.
I've looked them up in the standings, but
hold on. Winnipeg is they're second in their Central, so they're good.
But if they want to keep Holtby like mentally engaged, you might start him tonight. You know what I mean? You want to keep him mentally in there so he still feels like he's a huge part of this.
Right.
Winnipeg's really good, actually. They got 91 points.
Who do you think they're going to start? I think they're going to start Groovy. How do you
have to start Groovy. I'm sorry.
But if you do, that signals to Holtby for sure you've been supplanted, at least for now.
Right.
Now,
100%. Until Groovy stumbles.
Yes. Right.
He's
the new
top
guy in town. The new sheriff in town.
He's the top guy.
You're going to be... You'd be waiting with bated breath to see who starts a goal.
That's fascinating story.
I think since January 1st, he's given up almost 4 goals a game.
Listen, I would probably move on from it.
How do you go with that?
Because you give him one last shot, deference to him, and you say, here you go. This is your chance here
to reclaim your spot. You wait until Groovy starts falters.
Yeah. No, man. What he gets is, and he can run with this opportunity, he gets the Groovy games. Like Groovy used to get the back-to-back.
The gristle
the second on the back-to-back.
Sure. But if you want him to stay mentally engaged and make him feel like he's a part, he's still got a shot at this down the stretch, you got to start him tonight, I think.
You can't do that against a good team.
I think Holtby starts tonight because I don't think Trotz is ready
That's officially giving up on him.
He's had two games of rest. He's back at home.
And
I think Holtby starts
after the
tonight.
First period or something.
But I'm an idiot, and I'm sure
I'm
wrong.
I'm willing to bet a dollar. It's Groovy. It's got to be Groovy.
What do you
gonna bet? I'm betting a dollar.
Sure, I'll bet a dollar.
What do you think? Give me the bet book.
It's a small blind.
Who's going to start? What do you think? I think he might give Holtby one more chance. Otherwise, it's over.
It's over.
No,
you think it's already over?
No, because if Groovy loses, then Holtby.
I think Holtbeast is in net tonight. Could be his last stand.
He's getting the Nubs Grubauer assignments now.
Yes, that's what I believe happens.
Look, tonight is a good team you're playing.
That's
I think you got to play your best goalie now.
Holtby.
Right.
He might not be the best right now. But overall, he's a better goalie than Grubauer. But he's struggling right now. Maybe this is the last vote of confidence.
And you know what? You can't punt these games because, I mean, they're one point back.
If you cannot afford this to lose this or mess with this at all, then you got to stick with Groovy.
That's what I mean.
Coming off a shutout.
That's what I think they got to do.
Coming off only giving up 2 goals.
Man, that's that false bravado. Now I'm really thinking Groovy's going to start.
Right? If you cannot afford to slip at all here and you need this desperately, you got to go with the hottest guy. You're not going to sit there and play the psychological games.
Caps only 1 point back of the Pens, and they have 2 games in hand on the Pens. So they're still in decent shape. Not panicked. Do I look panicked? Do I look panicked to you?
No.
All right, remember, Jason Sobel covers the golf tour for ESPN. Joins us coming up at 8:20. Steve Lapis on the NCAA Tournament 9. Keep it here on the Junkies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.